is the Pregame Engineer Tailgate Mayor Racing Podcast, episode number 191. It's Wednesday, April 17th, 2019. I'm Tailgate Mayor Rusty Wallace. I'm in the PTM Podcast Studio with Pregame Engineer Andrew Sherwin. What's up, dude?
That's
too excited.
That might be the first time you've ever screwed that part of it up.
That's true. We'll see if we
Well, so we've got a guest tonight that we've been trying to get forever.
And the posse has put him in high demand.
We're super excited. Perhaps it was a challenge before, but we made it happen this time.
That's right. So before we do, y'all know what the deal is. This podcast is sponsored by you. That's right. You go to patreon.com/PETM. Join the What You Drink Club for as little as $1 a month to get that free koozie. Best part is every cent in 2019, we're donating to sponsoring drivers. So join the PETM posse today. Be a part of the support you love. We got some microphone stuff going on there. You just hear it squeak. Says it's all good. This week's show brought to you by our official sponsors at the $5 and up per month level. Those are Laura Hinch, Aaron Bearden, Robert Kepplinger, Coleman Clamer, Kevin Ryan, Keeper, Patrick Fury, Jeff Brown, Brandon Crow, Kathleen McDonald, Stacey Wright, Brandon Carl, Rika Porter, Jumpy Bob and Les Miller, Tommy Witt, Julie Bosley, John Pearson, Eddie Greer III, Younger Motorsports, David Mullins, Patrick Johnson, Brett Morris, Gail Delaney, and Crystal Smoke. Phew.
One of the coolest names in all of names.
Right? I think MOATF, I heard earlier this week.
Somebody mentioned her.
Yeah. She's in that, whatever you call it, fantasy league.
Oh, yeah, the so, live traffic fantasy league.
They were doing all that.
Yeah.
Sherwin, it is time to bring on our guest. On paper, he's a NASCAR reporter for Fox Sports. But, dude, in reality, y'all know him. He's the NASCAR guru. Legend has it, Sherwin, that other media outlets confirm their stories with Bob before publishing themselves. There's a Twitter hashtag for I beat Bob to the track. And several,
for good reason,
several unnamed, and maybe later on we'll name them, crew chiefs have asked Bob, hey, what's the rule around blah blah? They're holding two different parts going, what am I allowed to use? And Bob comes back. So y'all know who he is. Find him on Twitter at Bob Pockris. Welcome to the show, Bob Pockris. Bob, what's happening, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, it was funny. Remember when Chris Buescher won the fog race back in the day at Pocono?
Yes.
The director of competition at Front Row Motorsports came up to me and was like, have we won yet? And I was like, not yet, you know? So, yeah, people know I listen to the NASCAR radio pretty frequently, and I have my NASCAR rulebook app handily available if need be.
Yeah, Bob's our resident student reporter. He's always learning.
Or a professor.
Which is, I would say nerd because we're nerds too in our
I own. Prefer wonk.
Wonk?
Wonk.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know that.
Isn't wonk a more
well,
nicer,
I don't know that
nicer
I'm
name than a nerd?
Okay. Yeah, well, so people don't like that word, especially in NASCAR where we tend to be a bunch of rednecks. But wonk, okay, we'll switch to wonk. I think I'm wonk in a couple different spaces. I don't know about this one, but
I'm wonky. I know that. Bob, we start this show off the same way every time. What are you drinking on tonight?
I'm just drinking water tonight because I mean I had to be on my best behavior for you guys, or not my maybe not my best behavior, but I at least wanted to remember what I said.
That's more respect than we deserve,
right? I mean, this coming
that's
from
not
the
really guy. About you guys. It's about me, you know, and job security. I gotta know what I say.
Oh yeah. Well, we certainly wouldn't want you to get in trouble.
Oh, you're with Fox now, dude.
Employer, but that your you new employer's a little bit wilder. Yeah. I think they unless he's trying to stretch the gaps a little bit.
If CJ Walliver can sing karaoke with us, Bob Pockris can.
We may just got him in trouble.
We don't know.
CJ probably has a better karaoke voice than me.
He actually is real good at it.
Surprising.
Like, no kidding, real good at it.
I shouldn't say surprising. You just don't expect it, I guess.
Yeah, he's good.
In my family, we dreaded birthdays because that meant everybody in the family was singing happy birthday to you. And you just, it was like, man, the best birthday gift would be if nobody sang happy birthday.
Well, we need a new song.
I don't even know what to say.
Yeah, right? You know what? We just always yelled it really loud so that we didn't have it. Nobody's even trying at that
point.
Oh,
yeah. If you just holler,
then
you don't really have to carry a tune.
So, Sherwin, I'm dreading this moment.
Uh-oh.
Because there was a stipulation. Bob's previous engagement had issues with or whatever, I'm sugarcoating all this
stuff.
He
dared us to do something.
Step around the line and stuff. But finally, Bob was able to come on the show. And he said, and we were talking to him in Atlanta, at Atlanta Motor Speedway. And he said, I'll come on the show, but on one stipulation. And I asked him in the pre-show if he remembered what that was. And we didn't even say what it was in the pre-show. So, Bob, why don't you tell the folks?
Okay, so if most people who follow me on Instagram know, I eat a fairly plant-based diet. I'll eat a little fish here and there, but mostly as close to a vegan diet as possible. And you guys dissed on...
Uh-oh, we lost
Bob. Oh, we lost him. That's so funny.
Go figure.
Go Your figure. Diet sucks, yep, Bob.
Vegan stuff.
There it is. There he is. He's back. Hey, Bob, we lost you for about... Stress. We lost you for about 10 seconds there. So,
all right.
We know that you or you said that you eat mostly a plant-based diet and continue from there.
Yeah. So, or you guys probably cut me off on purpose.
well, we were.
So, anyway, and sausages. So, you guys tweeted, or one of you guys tweeted that you'd rather eat a turd than a Beyond Meat sausage. And I was like, you guys should at least try it. And I assumed that you hadn't. Maybe you had, but I'd assumed you hadn't. And I said, I'll come on your show if you guys will eat a Beyond Meat sausage, or one of you eat a Beyond Meat sausage and film it and put it on. Just because I think, hey, sausage is like, of all the fake meats, that's like the easiest to replicate because it's all texture and spices anyway.
So I agree with you on that part. And I have,
that's a good
point. I have had meatless sausage before. So... What happened?
Bob, what had happened was
Bob had walked up to me after talking with Sherwin. He said, "All right, I already told Sherwin I'd be on your show, but you dissed on the meatless burger stuff." And I said, "Yeah, that was probably Sherwin." And he goes, "You said it tastes. You'd rather eat a turd." And I was like, "Ooh, that was probably me."
And that was funny because you admitted it after I said, "Bob, I'm pretty sure that was Rusty."
Yeah. I immediately blamed Sherwin.
I threw your ass up under the bus.
Yeah, immediately blamed Sherwin. And then when he said, yeah, you'd rather eat a turd, I was like, ooh, that's a Rusty kind of quote right there. So, yeah, I'll go ahead and suck that one up. But, Bob, here's what we did. We're opening up right now. Earlier today, Sherwin, I made some homemade biscuits, Southern-style buttermilk biscuits.
I walked in the door and I said, do you make cornbread? And he goes, no, I made biscuits. And I never put it together till now.
In between that biscuit. And we're
so your cornbread smells like biscuits?
What's that?
Your cornbread smells like biscuits, or your biscuits smell like cornbread?
Well, you know, it's all buttermilk and some sort of thing there.
Very similar.
So in between this biscuit, y'all, I'll hold it up for you, is a meatless Beyond Meat sausage patty that I also cooked up.
So we owe Bob
a big
courtesy.
A big old bite of it. So here goes nothing. 3, 2, 1. And we didn't...
That was a big bite.
Yeah, we didn't go modest on the bite. We probably should have done this separate. So as not to have these pauses.
Actually, this thing's pretty good.
Bob, that ain't half bad.
No, I mean, it's certainly better than a turd. I mean, I assume it's actually, I should say, I assume that it's better than a turd because I've never eaten a turd. But, you know, I forgot I should at least, way to kind of promote that a little bit and be on your show. I'm glad you guys tried it.
That's actually good.
I'm not going to lie.
The hamburger we had at Leilani's deal at Talladega, that thing sucked.
Yeah, the burger needs some work. The sausage, they have nailed y'all. That's impressive.
I mean, it should be easy to nail, right? Because, again, it's all texture and spices.
Yeah. If you wouldn't have told me, or if you'd have told me that was meat or just wouldn't have told me nothing and said sausage biscuit, I'd probably go, okay. I mean, it's not...
if
gourmet,
Coke Bengals handed one of these to me when I ordered a sausage biscuit, I wouldn't know the difference. This is for real.
Yeah, this is for real. And I've heard people say that about that meatless burger, and I have called almighty BS on that one now.
Yeah, that thing sucked. The other thing that sucked was they had all these gigantic males that were jacked.
Yeah.
And I'm like, if you don't eat real protein, you can't look like that. So you're a liar.
Well, I'm having another bite.
Rusty's chewing. I'm fixing to have another bite, too. So, all right, Bob. I think we fulfilled our end of the bet here.
So, yeah. Yeah, thanks for being on. We'll talk to you next time. Have a good day. Oh, man. So
we'll see you at Talladega.
Bob, what are you working on right now? What's the next big story coming up?
Well, I mean, I think a couple of things. First off, you've got Talladega coming up, and NASCAR's toyed with the aero package because, you know, now there won't be a restrictor plate in addition to the spacer. So they're going with the same, pretty much the same aero package they used at Texas, except they had to raise the spoiler in hopes of slowing the cars down, because they did a test at Daytona the day after the Daytona 500 with three drivers, and they were reaching close to 200 miles an hour. So the question is are they going to be going, and the drivers don't mind going faster, but I think NASCAR's insurance company doesn't want them to go much over 200. So I think the question is how fast are they going to go? And if they go faster, can NASCAR change the tapered spacer, which really messes with the engine a lot more, according to the engine builders, or will they try a bunch of different wicker bills or something to slow them down? So that's kind of what I'm looking at. Of course, the All-Star rules were announced today, a couple of changes there, nothing huge, although the radiator ducts are going to come up through the hood instead of going through the engine, in hopes of, you know, kind of maybe it'll look a little bit more like a muscle car and hopefully cool the engine a little bit, eat better. But beyond that, the NFL schedule came out today. I thought it was interesting that they're the only track that has a race in an NFL market where also the NFL team plays at home is Miami. It's the championship at Homestead is up against the Dolphins. But remember last year, Indy was up against the Colts. This year, the Colts are away. The Panthers are away when Charlotte's in town, when the Charlotte race is. The Cardinals are away when Arizona plays, and I think the Chiefs play like Thursday night of Kansas week, and the Cowboys play Monday night of Texas week. So NASCAR really got a good deal there with the NFL schedule.
Yeah. Y'all, that's what we were talking about at the top of the show when I was giving all these like superlatives about Bob. Who else has gone in and cross-referenced all the NASCAR races with the NFL schedule? That's really cool.
Well, it's NASCAR's wonk.
NASCAR's wonk.
I won't tell you how many times I refreshed the NFL.com waiting for the schedule to come out so I could check it.
Sure. Awesome. I think it's worth taking a couple 20 seconds to talk about what you said about whether changing the spacer at Talladega is going to impact teams from an engine construction perspective. Is they build it based on a certain harmonic. So if NASCAR adds a spacer, they're going to have to like change all the springs.
Well, they have the spacer in there, and we know it wasn't rare for NASCAR to change the restrictor plate on the race weekend, right? If they felt like they were going too fast. But to change that spacer apparently is a much bigger concern to the engine builders than it would be if they were changing a restrictor plate. And really what a spacer is, it's just kind of a thicker restrictor plate and the holes taper compared to, the spacer's kind of an aluminum piece that's machined rather than a metal disc that has holes punched in it. But it apparently reacts very differently. So now I will say this, NASCAR isn't telling the teams what their plan is if they have to slow them down. And I think part of that is to keep them from trying to science everything out before the race weekend, right? You know, they don't want teams spending so much time on potential changes that either one team gets a jump or that they just end up wasting their time anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think that spacer that they're going to use this year and have been using this year has a greater chance of creating a cyclonic flow of air, which would be much more efficient than just a straight up flat plate spacer that's going to be very disruptive. I think that's the issue. And then we're talking about, we've added somewhere around 100 and 125 horsepower. Nobody really knows outside of the teams that are actually building the engines. It's going to be a different thing. We're going to see a different thing, maybe.
I was going to comment that, boy, they've only got a week and 2 days to figure this thing out. But I guess
I think they got it figured. Well, I think they've they have an idea of what they want to do, but they just aren't going to – they're just not going to let the teams know because, again, that just would favor the bigger teams that could spend more time in simulation or run to the wind tunnel to try to figure, okay, if should we run 10 different wicker bills on the rear spoiler to see what – or on the roof to see if we can figure out what any changes NASCAR makes – how it'll impact the car.
Bob always brings the level-headed like response there because I was ready to pitchfork mafia this thing, you know, like run out there. Hey, what are y'all doing? Y'all even know what's going on? But
you're partly right. I mean, I you know, keep that pitchfork a little bit in the sense of it's so hard to tell. Is NASCAR going to be? Is it NASCAR being prudent or is it are they being arrogant, right? Because you would look at the way the qualifying is and be like, well, everybody told them qualifying was going to be this way at the intermediate tracks, and they still kind of maybe officiate with their heart a little bit more than they did with their mind. And the question is, are they doing the same here?
Yeah. Well, I'm not banging mine like on the concrete or the asphalt, but I'm sharpening the tines. You know what I mean? Like, I'm working them down.
Well, let's go ahead and get to the report card. It's time to tear it down, y'all. First period, let's talk about Richmond. You know what? I need to cue up another sound already because Sherwin, last week, Todd Bodine on the podcast, who did he say would win that race?
I think he said Truex was going to win.
Truex, like, with an exclamation point. And, like, he was into
it. He was confident.
So here it is for Todd Bodine, the PETM horn.
Winner.
Oh, man.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
That sound right there is the highest honor that you can get.
Is that already three horns this year?
That might be three horns this year. That's crazy. That might outdo last year's pace already.
Mm-hmm.
But let's talk about Richmond for a bit. Truex, first short track win. Bob, I mean, how crazy was that, and how, I don't know, what's the inside scoop that you got
Kyle
from?
Kyle Busch with Spain penalty.
Well, there's that, too. What's
Busch
your takeaway?
Kyle Busch penalty, Denny Hamlin had to start in the back. I mean, look, when you look, how many laps did Truex lead in the last five or six races? I mean, hundreds, right, at Richmond. So it wasn't a huge surprise that he won. And for all those people who think, well, Joey Logano was kind to him, or Joey Logano's changed because he hasn't wrecked him. I'm pretty skeptical at that. I think Joey Logano just couldn't get to him. I mean, he wasn't going to, you know, Logano at Martinsville didn't wreck Truex in the sense of putting him out of the race. You know, Truex still finished third in that race. And I don't think Logano just couldn't get to him to where he could make a similar move as he did at Martinsville. Because if he could have, he would have.
Yeah, well, I've maintained since we saw that race last fall that if Truex doesn't lose his mind and plant his foot in the gas pedal, he probably still could have won that race. I think one of the things that's cool about this is I agree with you, Bob. I don't think Joey could get there without wrecking him, and I don't think Joey had any interest in wrecking him.
Yeah, I mean, Joey certainly already had a win, so, and there wasn't as much on the line as there was at Martinsville, but I don't think Joey thinks that way. I think he'd go for the win if he could do a bump and run where Martin would finish second or third, and I don't think that opportunity was there. And I mean, you look at that race, and, you know, Martin drove a great race, and, you know, Martin talked about how once he got behind lap cars, he was fighting the same thing as the cars behind him. As far as that spoiler making a big wake and his car feeling, he said it was racing like it was on bologna skins. Now, I have no clue what that, I mean, so, is he thinking that banana skin? I mean, I guess you could say bologna.
No, so here's, what, little, we, yeah, here's okay. What we had to talk about is, right, some weird people used to buy that bologna that had that red skin on the outside.
Oh, that was my family.
Okay.
I got, but if you bought Oscar Mayer bologna, then that red skin wasn't there. So, right. I'm just saying.
We bought the poor people stuff.
I thought we did, too. But we didn't buy the red skin. So my mom's mom did.
Yeah.
Red skin stuff at my mama's house.
You ever tried to eat one? Because you were little and you're like, do I eat the skin? Yeah, that thing
I didn't know up. That it, like, skin was a thing. So I damn sure have had that in my mouth before. I'm going, what the hell is this?
Became dental floss.
It's a trash bag is what it is.
Oh, man. Well, we already talked about it a little bit. Second period, all-star format being announced just a few hours ago. We talked about what's new. Bob, does this preview kind of some stuff for next year? We know the all-star race where they like kind of
preview stuff for 2021 in the Gen 7 car. Could having that radiator outlet coming out the hood, and then they're going to go with a front splitter that is one piece carbon fiber that doubles as a pan underneath the front end of the car. So this, again, it's two things that they're kind of looking at for the Gen 7 car. And then they've added five laps to the final segment. So it's going to be an 85-lap race, 30, 20, 20, and 15. So not huge changes, but, again, using a couple of things that they want to look at for that Gen 7 car that they hope to debut in 2021. We'll see how it goes. They hope that it it makes a difference. I'll be interested to see, you still have a front splitter, and I'm sure there's a lot of your fans and feel like the front splitter needs to go. And I've often said, it can't be as easy as taking off a front splitter, cutting off some side skirts and having tires that wear, or at least I hope it's not that easy, because if it is, NASCAR spending a lot of time and money looking at other things.
Yeah, well, so how are we going to change a steel pan that's designed to take a pretty significant impact for the oil pan? How are we going to turn that into carbon fiber if we don't create a lot of travel, I guess, is what I'm saying. So they're obviously going to have to create – some serious travel. They're going to have to open the shock package up. They're going to have to open the spring package up. You're going to have to be able to move that car up and down based on the way the driver wants to drive it. Otherwise, it doesn't make any sense to do it.
Well, and I think maybe that's the hope, that it allows more flexibility for the teams to create a setup that, and to tailor it to their driver, right? And maybe it's easy. The question is, would it be easier? Does it take less wind tunnel time or less simulation time and more driver feel and at track adjustments that you can make to have a bigger effect?
Well, if they have the effect that I think they want a significant number of us fans to be impressed with, Jimmy Johnson's going to start winning again.
Bob, everybody, it feels like, that I talk to and that we talk to, they all have some fun or crazy or stupid, but crazy ideas about, what would you do with the all-star race? So we want to know what Bob Pockers would do with the all-star race.
Well, I kind of liked it when they eliminated people during a race. They've done that before, and I kind of like that. I would like to see that again. I wouldn't mind that at all. But as far as crazy stuff,
you don't want to see Stone Cold Steve Austin or whoever it was opening the envelopes
with the
whatever it was. What was it? The wrestler that was with them in the booth and they're opening envelopes.
Oh, it was
out with the
Goldberg,
next,
wasn't it?
Goldberg, maybe.
Part of me agrees with some of the people who think it should just, you should have a certain number of safety requirements and then just open it up and you do whatever you want and
spend
as much money as you want to win this $1 million, and don't have many rules. I don't know if that's possible from a safety standpoint, but if it is, I wouldn't mind seeing it.
The T-Rex, the rear mounted, the aft mounted shocks behind the axle that Ray crazy. Evernham figured out, and they said, don't ever do that again.
don't even bring. They said don't do that again, and so he couldn't even. I mean, that car never. Couldn't even redo that car, right? He just had that car to become a showroom car because it's changed so much that you couldn't even change it,
you couldn't fix it because of the way they counterbalanced the weight. It just wasn't gonna be a thing.
Sherwin's talking.
Anything that can make that, it's such a difficult thing since NASCAR is an all-star race every week, right? And since everybody participates, so how do you differentiate the
That's great, the
all-star event? And you know, it used to be the $1 million, but does, you know, how much of a difference does that make to teams anymore? So,
or to fans?
I don't mind trying things and mixing things up a little bit. You know, it'd be great if you could have a bunch of it'd be great if everybody brought cars and then drivers just pulled slots. And, you know, if Kyle Busch picked the 48 number, he gets to drive the 48. That, you know, something like that would be crazy.
that would be hilarious.
If you really want something crazy, that would be fun to see. But in this world of, you know, you couldn't drive a Chevrolet, it probably never happen.
Oh, yeah.
Why not race a 4-cylinder street stock at Bowman Gray? How freaking cool was that? Would that be?
Do something crazy.
Like, I mean, just go completely off the map.
We got like home run derby and slam dunk contests and the other all-star stuff. Just, you know,
we do weird. Crazy. We do weird things. Now, so I will say this, Bob, and I don't know where you're at on this as a journalist, but the absolute coolest thing that we do in all of NASCAR, without a doubt, is qualifying for the all-star race. That no limits, everybody's off pit road, hit it as hard as you can hit it.
Yeah,
that is so much fun to watch.
Yeah,
I enjoy it. I don't know if it's the coolest, but it's certainly one of the neat things to see. And, you know, a lot of, some people were asking me tonight, hey, can you do that every week? I mean, you could. It would make the qualifying show pretty long at some tracks, but, you know, the thing would be, do teams really want to bring in their pit crew members a day or 2 days early?
Yeah, it would be too expensive to do every week. I don't think we should do it every week. I'm just saying that's one of the things that should stay in the all-star race. I don't care if we take it to South Boston or if we take it to Bowman Gray or whatever. If we take it to Bowman Gray, you're not going to have pits anyway, so it's not a thing. But, like, if we're going to keep it at Charlotte, they have to keep that piece of the puzzle in the equation.
So let's move to third period here. Jimmy Johnson running the Boston Marathon. Dude, 3 hours, 9 minutes in the 48-48 bib, which I thought was, you know, pretty
Which was cool. Random, by the way.
He didn't it wasn't.
Yeah, they let him. They let him. Which I think, Bob, you posted on Twitter. That's an 8.24 mile per hour average. Now, last time I ran in a 5K, now Jimmy, you know, he did a 42K, so that's a little more.
Slightly longer, just a little bit longer.
He did 8.24 miles an hour. I believe I averaged 6.1, like barely a jog. And here he is outrunning me like that for that long. And not only that. Chris Maroche, or Maroche, I don't know his last name.
6.1, that's a hell of a lot faster than 8.24.
Oh, no, miles per hour.
Oh, miles per hour, sorry.
No, I was way slower. Yeah, that's
my bad.
10.5-minute mile versus...
I misheard you.
Yeah, versus maybe... what's 8.24? That's like a 7-something? Jeez.
Yeah, he was in the 7s. 7.10, I believe it was.
7.10, good grief. And his, from the Hendrick Engine Department, Chris Maroche ran... alongside Jimmy, apparently most of the race, they didn't see each other necessarily, but ran right alongside him, 3 hours, 7 minutes, like 2 minutes faster than Jimmy.
That's really good.
What's in the water over at Hendrick Motorsport, Bob?
Well, I mean, those guys, they're beasts, man. They you know, I did a half marathon about 5 years ago, the morning at Darlington.
I remember.
I finished it in 2 hours and 20 minutes, so... You know,
congrats. That's awesome.
Just a little bit slower than what those guys are running. You know, look, those guys. I mean, Jimmy is just an incredible athlete, and he has incredible focus and is able to push himself. And just like, I mean, he made it look. You know, if you watch him, it barely looks like he's sweating. He looks. I mean, he talks about being the most challenging thing he ever did, and he still made it look easy almost, right? It didn't look like he was struggling, and I think that's kind of the way he's, you know, that's the way he won all his championships. He made it, in some ways he did it too good, right? You kind of wish maybe he knocks some people out of the way, roughs some people up more.
Instead of just beating everybody's ass.
So good, he could pass him cleanly and didn't need to do it. And I think this is the same. He gets his mind. You know, he talked to – I was like, why are you keeping this three-hour goal when you've had calf injuries and he had some tendon issues and he got sick and he really didn't hit all his training goals as far as, like, how he wanted to train? And he was like, I couldn't get my ass out of bed before at 5:30 in the morning if I wasn't trying to hit three hours. He said if I was trying to hit 4 hours, there's no way I'd ever get up and go run. So it's just kind of – Wow. His mentality, and he's an incredible athlete, and you know, and a lot of those guys, it takes incredible focus to drive a race car, and if they put their focus on something else, they're tough to beat. I mean, Jimmy McMurray ran the marathon in Hawaii in like 3 hours 14 minutes or something like that. You know, he did a lot of training for it, and you know, these guys are goal-oriented, focused people, and so they can, you know, if they have it in them, they can usually bring it out.
So you're saying that he should have hip check a few people and put them in the fence in the Boston Marathon just to, you know, get that edge,
get a couple more finishes,
or at least like make it look like that he was hurting a little bit.
Right. It's like, well, that's the hardest thing I've ever done. Well, try to lift this 400-pound rock. It'll look a little harder, at least to us, with him straining in the face or something. But, yeah.
I really enjoyed
– He must have forgotten some of those conversations with Chad, because some of those things had to be worse, right?
I saw some stuff on Twitter or elsewhere that was saying, well, did he pass post-race is a question. And where's Chad in all this? Where's the you know, he was messing with.
Where's old Cheat at?
Yeah, messing with some shoes or messing with tires or something on this race. I love that.
He did talk about on Steve Letarte's podcast. He talked about, you know, he had to use the shoes that he used because the ones that he wanted to use weren't well suited for his stride.
No,
they were street legal, but they weren't suited for his stride. It was kind of like, how much air do you need in your right rear as a driver in order for it to build up to speed? But, yeah, I thought it was really cool that he did that and that it got a lot of attention. And I thought it was really uncool how many people were jackasses about it.
I mean, how can you be a jackass?
Well, I mean, it doesn't even make sense. Everybody has an opinion. And, you know, and certainly there were some people saying, hey, maybe you should be focusing on a race car. But he said that, you know, look, you know, he usually does a lot of fitness stuff, whether it's swimming or biking or running, and he just focused on the running. And he said he didn't really spend a ton more time doing the running than he did his other fitness stuff. So he didn't really see – wasn't like it took up a whole lot more of his time than what he would have been doing anyway.
It wasn't a big change. I thought his he made a comment on Twitter that I thought was excellent, and I'll finish this very quickly, Rusty.
Yeah.
Somebody was like, well, you know, I hope you qualified for next year's. And he goes, yeah, my time did that for me.
He was real sensitive to that. When I talked to him about it, because I had seen some of the criticism before. I mean, I talked to him Bristol weekend, and I had already seen some criticism. And, you know, obviously Gatorade that sponsors him they sponsor the marathon, and they get a certain number of spots for their people. And he got one of those spots, and, you know, and some people are like, man, you know, the regular Joe has to qualify for it. And Jimmy was like, I wish I had the time to qualify for a marathon and do another one. He's like, but I haven't had the time. So he's like, you know, he's certainly not going to give up the opportunity, but, you know, I mean, the thing is that he felt like he did a lot of media, you know, in order to try to promote, not that the marathon needs a whole lot of promotion, but maybe to promote it to people who maybe wouldn't have paid attention otherwise. And felt like he did that in hopes of giving back a little bit because of the fact that he never had to run a qualifying time.
Well, winning 83 cup races and 7 cup championships, that should probably qualify you for a lot of things.
Do you think there's any elite runners who are saying, well, he got a qualify? No, it's all these fat yeah, dudes on
I
the
would,
couch.
I would like every one of those people that were bitching about him qualifying for the race to sit in a passenger.
Yeah, let's get your
in the second seat of a stock car with Jimmy running it as fast as he can run it,
or anything, man,
and see what it's like.
I'm a fat guy on a couch, and I'm saying it's very impressive, and I totally respect.
Hey,
it.
Yeah, so, just people
but
are.
These are the fat people on couch things. Whatever.
They say stuff. We have more important stuff to get to.
Let's start skipping ahead. You know, we'll take a break after third period. We always say go under the bleachers and smoke some cigarettes or something.
Back or other stuff.
Or the other stuff. Hit the bottle of booze, and we'll move on to some questions for Bob. Bob, we got one question from Todd Bodine at @team_onion. He was on with us last week. We asked him give us a question for Bob. He said, and fellow, by the way, fellow Fox Sports, presenter / journalist, et cetera. And he said, he essentially said, how did you feel the first time you were on camera? Were you nervous that first time or how did that go?
Well, at Fox, I was a little bit nervous. I think it's just a general reaction. You want to do a good job and, You're just not sure, especially your first time with any, I'd done a few sports centers when I was at ESPN and some other things. But I think, whenever you don't really know all the producers and you don't know necessarily how things flow, it's just everything is so kind of new. So it was certainly maybe nervous. But I think we're getting better at it.
Yeah. Well, if you're not nervous, you don't care, which is a cool thing.
Yeah.
And Todd was like, I think he was a little wide eyed. I wonder what will happen.
Hey, as I joke, at age 50, starting doing a lot more TV, that really isn't a good career path, right? To start working in TV mostly at age 50, be like, trying to start a NASCAR career at age 50, say, hey, I think I'm going to go run, going to go try to become a cup driver. It isn't really the normal path.
Oh, I don't know. Dale Jarrett did a pretty good job of being 50 and becoming a TV guy.
Yeah, he's doing all right for himself.
Now, granted, he's got some history in the sport, obviously. Yeah.
Happy belated birthday, by the way. I mean, that's like 2 months on now, I think. But, we'll...
Six weeks.
When it's a big 5-0 thing, man, that's... That's awesome, and
I'm still feeling the pain from the party. So yeah,
you know what? You got less gray hair than Rusty, and I think you have less gray hair than me. And we're both essentially the same age, but about 12 years younger than you. So
I wouldn't have put you at 5-0 for nothing. So it's a testament to the. By the way, we both finished our biscuits.
Oh, biscuits were good, man.
Yeah, nothing wrong with those.
So Bob, do you have like Italian blood in you? How do you keep that dark black hair so long?
I don't know. It's I don't do anything. I'm not coloring it, so it'll go gray at some point, but I don't know, but I'm not complaining.
I've been wanting to dye my hair and not tell anybody, just do it as a goof, and then people
be like freak out.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I want to put the Just for Men in my beard.
Yeah, that's like, what I mean.
What the hell?
No, just like make it back to brown or whatever it was before. It's been so long I can't remember. But
see, I think Bob has he's got Sly Stallone's phone number.
Yeah.
Like, hey dude, who's your stylist?
On dial, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I need that black, that jet black.
Oh, Mick Rose, that Go Ducks for you.
Whenever I go get cut, they say, how short do you want? And I say, it's like a chia pet, man. You can't really cut it all that. Don't cut it too short. It's just going to grow back.
Oh, man. Mick Rose at GoDucks 42 _Mick says, other than Iowa and Fairgrounds, what other short tracks could meet the requirements to have a cup race in 2021? Bob, I'm very interested in your answer here.
That's a great question.
IRP
could, right?
Yeah.
I mean, they've had Busch races or Xfinity races before. Milwaukee Mile maybe could, but I don't know that. Ooh, that's really in
the comeback.
You know, whether they would need to have a comeback. And then Rockingham, if that gets fixed up enough, it, yeah. it certainly needs some investment. So, there are some there. We'll see what NASCAR does. I'd like to see him add a couple of new venues, but I'd also like the venues to be kind of well prepared and have the ability to host. You know, when you talk about Iowa, you know, I've talked to people from Iowa. I haven't been there, so I'm gonna have to rely on them. But they say, you know, I felt like for a cup weekend, you would need more roads or more lanes going in and out of the track. So yeah, I wouldn't want to. I'd really wish that NASCAR had added some places that they were looking to go for in 2021 as far as the cup side to the Xfinity and truck schedules, just to see if they can kind of handle the load, for lack of a better term.
That's a perfect response. I totally agree, because we found out the hard way with Kentucky that, man, if you don't prepare, it can be a really messy opportunity.
Yeah, with that first one.
I think, you know, Iowa's probably prepared from a safety perspective. I think Gateway is probably prepared from a safety perspective. I don't know that Cup would ever go there or not. I think Fairgrounds is going to require a significant investment. SMI has already basically said they're prepared to do that. We don't know a timeline for it. But I'm curious to know, Bob, what you think about the Tennessee legislation and the Nashville legislation around, we don't want loud things like NASCAR races.
Well, you know, and I saw, I think it was, I saw Dave Moody tweet, you know, how crazy is it that people who live near a racetrack complain about the noise? But, you know, then again, this is an industry where, you know, the schedule hasn't changed in years, and people complain about the length of the schedule, right?
I live one mile.
I guess it just depends upon your perspective, right? I think Nashville's going to be tough. I think there's a lot, you know, the MLS stadium and that residential area that they're that mixed use area that they've proposed is pretty much approved. I think it is approved, and it it's going to require some changes. I think if NASCAR or if SMI and the Formosas, the promoters there, want to get done what they want to get done, NASCAR or SMI is going to have to work a deal where, you know, the tax revenue that they generate would end up paying off the costs for the improvements, which you know, while has a better chance of getting through than just using tax dollars, it's not easy in this political climate to get done. So, you know, there's some challenges ahead for them to get that done in Nashville. And it's going to be a challenge, because, you know, you've got to convince the local community, you've got to have to convince the fairground board, and you're going to have to convince the city council. And, you know, and that's going to take a lot of convincing.
Well, I live 1 mile from the second busiest airport in Georgia, and there's people outside, you know, screaming at clouds and airplanes every time they go over. So people going to complain, I guess, about noise regardless.
Well, that's running in the damn daytime. Hell.
Who knows? You know, I'll say this. I've got two on my mind. One is Mexico City, dare I say.
The problem there is,
I know the problems. I'm just saying.
It's getting the visas. That's the biggest problem. And then if it rains out and everybody has to go home because their visa is expired,
right,
that's the reason why Canada is such a problem.
Yeah, and funny enough, the other one that I was going to say.
Yeah, but you could say run in the rain. I mean, you bring rain tires. Look, the Xfinity Series had successful events in both Mexico City and Montreal, and I wouldn't be against either of them. If I'm in NASCAR shoes, I want to go to places that generate excitement in areas that already have maybe a passion for NASCAR. And that's kind of why I say Milwaukee or IRP, or I guess you could debate.
Dude, you could say IRP or not for like 15 minutes, and everybody in the world that knows NASCAR would agree with you.
Mm-hmm.
You could say it like, you just say IRP, IRP, like just keep saying it. And like, I don't understand at all why we're running Xfinity races on the big, you know, the big rectangle.
It's simple. It's because as much as NASCAR fans would say IRP, sponsors see Indianapolis Motor Speedway and see the ability to entertain sponsors, and team, and the teams will say that it's easier to sell a sponsorship to race at Indianapolis Motor Speedway than at IRP. And that might seem like a shame, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. So yeah. Let's go to the next thing.
Yeah, we'll get one more question for you, Bob, and we'll let you roll. William Soke at William Soquet. You know, you gave us one, but I'm wondering if there's a different one or a better one. One of the best stories that you have about someone in the garage asking you for a clarification on an obscure rule or an interaction that you've had like that. So the fog race was the have we won it yet? No, not yet. But what's something similar or the best one you've had?
I'm trying to think. The
it's probably penalty related with practice or something.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I mean, I've had wives tweet, you know, are we locked into the, I think it comes to like, are we locked into the next round, like during a race? Mm. Unless elimination races, if you get staged, do you have enough stage points to lock in? I think at least one of the wives of, you know, would tweet or something and say, hey, Bob, are we locked in yet? You know, I would say that's kind of the.
Yeah. Yeah.
The thing, okay.
You know, don't know if we're locked in until I tweet about it, I guess.
There it is. He's the
Sherry Pollux or
I don't think she had to worry.
It was Sherry or Samantha or one of them, I believe, but I can't remember exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Bob, what are you doing for Easter? You got any Easter plans? Are you gonna, you know, put down NASCAR for 4 days, or you know, is pigs gonna fly?
I'm gonna try to just relax. And, you know, people always ask, you know, what do you do on vacation? I said, I go to sleep and I go to the mall, right? things I don't get to do all that often during the year. So just going to take it easy. Obviously, no NASCAR to watch, but just try and recharge a little bit.
So we got to let you out on this one. Give us you're going to be at Talladega, right?
I'll be at Talladega.
All right.
Yes.
We will see you there. Yes. At the tweet up, where we'll have, you know, I don't know, beer for you.
Oh, I was going to say, you know, so everybody, whether or not they remember or not, we of course have plenty of new followers, but it was you that when I walked up to the tweet up about halfway in, I think it was damn near trying to be over, and you saw my more short tracks T-shirt, and you're like, that's awesome, you got to take a picture with Brent.
Yeah,
and we made all that happen.
Oh yeah. So with the NASCAR president at the time. Yep.
Yeah, yep.
We were like, you know, he's the one who was heading up the a lot of the schedule stuff, so we wanted to get a photo.
Yeah,
wearing the more short track shirt at the longest.
Oh, and I also had track, like the biggest beard I've ever had.
Oh yeah,
too.
Yeah, that thing was killer. So Bob, man,
well, not surprised that you didn't shave during Talladega weekend. You were probably busy doing other things.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
we were doing some other things. Ain't no doubt about other things going on. Bob, we'll let you roll, man. We're over our curfew already with you, but it's the most fun that we've had in a long time, and we just love doing this thing. Love having you on. Love you, man. We really appreciate you being on.
Well, I appreciate you guys having me on, and appreciate you being good sports about the fake sausage, and just love.
I actually didn't suck
talking to
at
fans.
All.
Dude, I've got like two or three more downstairs. There's some extra biscuits and sausage. I'm going to make me a sausage biscuit in the morning.
See you at worst case scenario. We will see you Sunday morning, 9 o'clock, 9:30 central.
Something like that. At Talladega.
Fantastic Easter. And we will be doing Talladega the way we do racing, which means we're not...
We're going as fans, not as media.
I have spoken with Talladega and I said I would have requested media passes, but I said I don't think we can do that. I don't think we can behave at Talladega.
No, impossible.
So we're going to misbehave.
It's always important to know your limits.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. Bob, thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you soon. Appreciate it.
Thank you, guys.
See ya. Bob Pockers, ladies and gentlemen.
What a dude.
As much fun as I hoped it would be.
You could see it in his eyes like 3 years ago when we asked him to be on. He's like, I'd love to, but we have rules.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's got less rules.
Well, that or he made it up and he didn't want to be on the show.
Well, he is an introvert.
Now that he's at Fox, we're like, well, we've talked to all these other Fox people. Surely you're not restricted. No, I'm not.
No.
I don't actually mean that.
Hey, speaking of that, not to just overblow, because we still got some stuff we need to go through, but speaking of Fox, Caitlin Vincey gave us the thumbs up.
Yeah.
So May, y'all, May's going to be a fun month.
If April hadn't already been.
Awesome. And y'all suggest us and tag IndyCar drivers for May, since I'm going to Indy.
Oh, yeah.
It would be awesome to have an IndyCar driver. And if they're not more available than NASCAR people, they're basically the same. Like, they're super available.
I mean, we'll probably talk about this in the after show because we get all excited. But how about the fact that we just had Todd Bodine ask a question to Bob Pockers via PTM podcast.
I'd be curious to know what a NASCAR fan that listens to this stuff that we talk about, what they would say about that. What do they think? Like, what do they think that is?
They probably think that we have more connections than we do.
almost 100%.
We don't have a clue what
we're doing. Hashtag 100%. Everybody have a drink.
Yeah, I'll drink to that. That sausage biscuit, man, that wasn't bad at all.
It was good. If you'd have never told me, I'd have never known.
Yeah, yeah. If you'd have never told me that burger wasn't meatless, I would have thrown it in the trash still.
It sucked.
But
it is what it is.
Anyway,
we had Leilani Munner on the podcast. We supported her as best we could.
I still support her, yeah.
She was very responsive to us, and we love what her message is.
Well, here's the thing. They're on like version 2.0 right now. I believe maybe once they get to version like 8.0, they'll have something palatable for meat eaters, and I'll be happy to do it. And I will try version 2, 3, 4, 5. I'll keep trying it because I want to give them that feedback. I'm supportive of this. I'm supportive of people.
Well, the only thing that made it weird to me is all those dudes that were completely jacked, and I'm like, that takes protein.
You can get protein shakes, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. Let's continue a little bit. Let's talk about the standings in the top 16 right quick. Fourth period as we come back from our smoke break under the bleachers.
We have come back from our smoke break. We are, I don't know what condition we are. Maybe we're just like we had a cup of coffee.
I thought that I was onto something really Bob-pocracy, if I can use that as an adverb or adjective or whatever it is here. I thought that I was onto something intriguing.
Well, I think if you'd included wins in here, it would get real crazy. But you maybe want to talk about
in the top 16. Let's not talk playoffs yet. But we were talking
playoffs.
You know, top 16 is kind of what we look at nowadays. You've got 3 Toyotas and 4 Chevys, and I thought that was kind of a interesting thing considering how crappy that Chevy's been.
They're hovering.
How awesome that Toyota's been.
I think they're crappy in a sense.
Or much better.
They're running like between 8th and 12th, but not leading laps a whole lot.
Right. And Ford has 9, which I don't think is anybody's surprise that Ford, we knew this in the preseason.
Penske, all of Stuart Haas, and one.
Yeah.
Menard, I think he's the other one, right?
But go in and look at the number of cars that are entered. Toyota has 3 in the top 16 out of 8 Toyotas in the series.
Mm-hmm.
Chevy has 4 more than Toyota in the top 16 out of 26 entries into the series.
So, yeah, but how many of theirs are junk cars?
Oh, like 16. But still, that means they have 10 and Toyota has 8.
Yeah, I think everybody would agree that Chevy has just still not got things figured out.
Mm-hmm. So, and Ford is, I mean,
the only Chevy car that's performing regularly is Kurt, and then maybe like 1.5 is Chase.
And I'm gonna throw this out there and kind of under my breath and kind of hold it. Austin Dillon ain't doing too bad. Like,
you're not wrong.
He's
you're
all
not
right.
wrong, Walter.
Chase is doing better.
And Jimmy, you're not even an asshole. You're Jimmy, actually right.
Jimmy's actually doing okay, too.
But he's the one running 8 to 12.
Yeah. Like, and Austin is running scoring either points. 20th or 11th or something.
He's scoring points. Yeah. He's not wrecking out of races.
Yeah.
And blowing motors and all that other crap.
So I thought I was onto something like poignant there, but I'm not sure that I was.
I don't know. I think it's an interesting conversation.
Interesting stat. Yep, interesting stat for sure. Let's go to recess. Dude, somebody was cutting onions in my house all day on Sunday when Tiger Woods won the Masters. And we knew it was kind of coming. I mean, all he had to do was get, like, bogey on this hole, and he played it super safe
when
and got bogey without...
When he hit that shot on 16...
Holy moly.
I lost my mind as much as I could lose my mind while watching with a friend in public.
In public, okay.
And I was like, I looked at him dead in the eye, and I said, Tiger just won the Masters.
Dude, I'm...
Like, when it landed...
I'm on goosebumps right now.
Like... Before he putted it, when he landed it, I go, Tiger just won the Masters.
I want to know some other folks, because I know Andy over at MOATF, like, he's huge Tiger Woods.
He's very much into golf.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there is a generation of at least maybe 10 years, maybe more. My dad, me and my dad were texting. I can show you the text of my dad. And my dad's a pretty superlative kind of person, like... He will. He'll call ball game in the second inning when somebody like hits a home run to go up 1-0.
He's very like
he gets excited.
He's momentarily reactive a lot.
You know what it is? He's very willing to take the downslope so that he can. He loves the upslope so much that he's willing to take the downslope.
Oh yeah.
You know? So We're sitting in. We had season tickets.
He's Chevy Chase and Christmas Vacation.
Oh my gosh!
Spray down that saucer deal and just.
Oh yeah.
Woo!
Yeah, we're at Braves games. Second inning, solo home run, ball game.
Like, hold on.
All right. Well, let's temper.
There's a solid 180 more pitches that are going to happen
right,
tonight.
Right. But he's so willing there to take down. So, but the text between me and him were just fantastic. I don't know how many, if you started watching golf 8 years ago, Sherwin, then
you wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. But golly, I'm getting goosebumps every 10 seconds right now. Ugh. Just thinking about in 97, I was 16 years old or whatever, or 15 years old or whatever, for the Nike ball, rolling to the cup, Masters, insanity thing, right? And growing up as a golfer and as a fan and all that, man, I don't have that in almost any other sport. I hate to say it because we're on a NASCAR podcast, but
we're going to talk about it though. I'm sorry, y'all, but this is going to go on for about 10 more minutes, just so y'all know.
Holy, I don't know what to say other than to go through that and then. And then after Tiger had his problems and then had health and all that stuff, I haven't watched golf in like, not like I used to watch golf. I haven't watched golf in 5-6 years because it's all the same. Like, I hate to, qualify everybody to say that, but it's like, oh, there's another, it's all these 24-year-old white guys all going against each other. Where's Tiger at? What's Tiger doing? Oh, his back still hurt.
He missed his like car 100 in 60 X-Y tournaments, like didn't even play or whatever.
And for him to come back, I mean, oh my God, the the excitement, the I mean, I'm back into golf now. You know what I mean?
So the thing
I've been rambling forever, Sean.
Yeah, no, the thing no worries. I'm not trying to cut you off. I think the thing that, like, I want to purvey to the people that are listening to us to understand what our perspective is. My dad grabbed me by the arm. In the spring of 96,
mm-hmm.
and said, you know, we don't have a soccer game today. We're going to watch this
mm-hmm.
golf. And it was Tiger trying to win his second amateur in a row
mm-hmm.
as a junior at Stanford, which had never been done. Nobody had ever won two in a row, much less as a junior.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up going pro mid-summer, like basically just said, F school, just like a lot of the football players do.
Sure.
Why wouldn't you if you're that good?
He's got money.
And
now.
he's got a couple dollar bills. And so as a 15-year-old, I was enthralled.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the fact that he was black. He's not just black. He's also Asian. So, like, you have this whole – I never thought about that perspective. Just that, all right, there's not – black golfers. I don't see any.
Vijay Singh.
Vijay's from Singapore.
Yeah,
mixed
success. Well, African American.
How have you managed that? But, I don't want to label anybody something they don't want to be labeled, but he just was like, he went to Stanford. My dad's from San Francisco. His dad got a law degree from Berkeley. His mom got an English degree from Berkeley. But he's always supported Berkeley area and West Coast teams. So we were always involved. Like, you know, UCLA was my favorite team that wasn't Georgia Tech when UCLA won in 96
mm-hmm.
Or 95, I think. So it was like, it was a huge deal in 97 for him to win. It was like, and I was,
for me, it
hooked.
I think that was when did Happy Gilmore come out? That was 98 or so, wasn't it? Was that 96?
98?
96. It was 96.
96.
So he was as close to Happy Gilmore as you could get. He drove the ball 40 yards longer than anybody else at the time. Nobody was driving 320 yards in 96. Nobody was.
Within 3 years of Tiger winning two Masters.
Mm-hmm.
What was that, 97 and 99, I think, or 97 and 2000. The Masters lengthened their course by almost 1,000 yards.
Insane.
Because Tiger was the only guy that could do that.
Right. And then not
and
only-
now that he's only a 310-yard driver, he still beat everybody.
Right. But and so not only the huge drives, but you never saw anybody. I mean, you always go back and you look at it. That ball rolls in, and he does that fist thing and screams, and everybody else screams.
It's like
that's Happy Gilmore stuff, man.
It's Ric Flair. He is the Ric Flair of golf.
Yeah, like, in a good way.
Like Joe Rogan says, awesome. That man has an exuberant noise. Tiger has an exuberant, you know, body language that made him just so enjoyable. And I don't care about any of the other stuff. Like, y'all, I mean, if you don't like him, that's because you're choosing to find the things that you don't like about a human. I like the competitor. The competitor is the only person that matters to me. Like, I mean, you can get, like, a lot of people that listen to us probably wouldn't like Ric Flair if they saw his personal life.
Well, I watched a YouTube video on him the other day, and he was talking about
his number is 5 digits.
Yes, exactly. That's the thing.
A crooked number in the front.
That was the video I was watching.
So let's just chill out for a minute. These guys are exposed to things that we would never be exposed to in normal life. So let's throw that out. You just throw it out the window and go, what do I like about this competitor? What I like about this competitor is he did everything he possibly could to get his body back to a place where he could win the most important tournament in the world, and he did it.
Yeah.
And he's my flipping hero.
Dude, I'm back into golf again. Like, I mean, I was watching, like, the Masters, and I would watch, maybe the PGA, but I was only watching, like, two –
I was really only watching the Open. Like, I love
Bubba Watson a little bit.
I
you
love
know?
The
I mean,
British
he's from Georgia, but he went to UGA, who's you know our rival school. But
yeah,
you know I root for
I
him.
Like I do like Bubba.
I like him.
He's
I
a
like
good
him.
Old redneck from Jacksonville, Florida. You got to love that guy.
Yeah, yeah,
and he swings for the fences.
Well,
always.
That's the other thing. If Tiger was 340, Bubba's 360.
Yeah, yeah, Bubba. I watched Bubba hit a 430. It was downhill at Hawaii, and it's absurd. But I mean, and Bubba's a likable dude, and his whole deal with his mom, holy crap!
Yeah, yeah.
And nobody wants to deal with that.
Well, let's close this out, Sherman. The point of all
we have to pick.
Well, let's pick next week. Who did Bob?
Yes, we'll. No, we don't. We didn't. I don't think we asked Bob to
did
pick.
We not ask Bob pick.
No, we didn't.
Dadgummit. We're going to have to tweet at him.
Well, I'll tweet at him or whatever
or
behind the scenes.
Or email
but
behind
we
the
got,
scenes.
We've got Kim Kuhn next week.
Holy bejesus.
That's going to be maybe awesome. We can meet her in person. How cool would that be? I don't know which of the radio groups has coverage. I think hers does. MRN is ISC and PRN is SMI, right? Somebody will tweet us.
I didn't know that they were track affiliated or track owner affiliated.
So they're owned. They're what? Ownership groups.
I should have known that by now, but I don't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things at my age that I should have known that, but I don't.
I feel bad that I don't know right now because it's 50-50, right? That's the hardest one to know.
Yeah.
So MRN has got a studio in the NASCAR Hall of Fame. I'm assuming that's NASCAR France family, which means it's ISC. Talladega is an ISC track. So I'm thinking Kim's going to be at Talladega.
Well, we're not going to be listening to it. We're going to be there.
Oh, yeah. We're going to be. I don't know what the hell they did down there in turn three, but we're going to be somewhere near there with coolers and food
and
cool ass people.
And people and awesome. Dude, let's close this thing out. Thank y'all, as always, for being on. Bob Pockers, dude, this has been. We've been trying to do. I shouldn't say we've been trying to do Bob Pockers. We've been trying to have Bob Pockers on for how long? And it finally worked out.
Oh, good 4 years.
Oh, yeah.
Good 3 or 4 years. So, shout out to, you know, what happened at Notre Dame getting burned down. Notre Dame getting burned down. Happened so, you know, had all the things. But, yeah, absolutely. Let's clear it out.
Let's do it. Y'all know what the deal is. You can follow us at PTM Podcast. PTMPodcast.com for all the latest and everything. And as always, Tailgate Mayor Rusty Wallace at Tailgate Mayor.
Yeah, you can search PTM Podcast on Google. You can find any place you would like to listen to a podcast. I promise you, it's there. Just scroll. And I'm Andrew Sherwin at Pregame Engineer. I'm actually moonlighting as Daryl Sweetwater III right now just for fun. And I'm Andrew L. Sherwin on Instagram.
Talk to y'all next week.
Love you, Sydney.